Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, broken ain't a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves her strawberry OG before bedtime in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dress in plastic bags, to Brittany Travis, some kind of fashion shake up should do, but all my friends that come around flats and flats of party up, brats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tad of my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should be shaking. Hey, what's kicking? I'm Farrell, my view's running it. We got the Chargers up 14-0 on Vegas, a late start tonight at SoFi. Strangely enough, they had a lightning storm or something around Inglewood, and they didn't start the game on time. I don't understand that at all, because it's like they're indoors. What's going to happen? Are they all going to get struck by lightning inside the stadium? I don't get why they did that. I'm still trying to figure that out. What's the problem? Secondly, it never rains there. Maybe once or twice, three times a year at best. Meanwhile, they got lightning storms before kickoff. I got to tell you, though, that is a badass stadium, SoFi, where they're going to have the Super Bowl. I'm telling you what, that is the Shangri-La of stadiums. Now you have Allegiant and SoFi going head-to-head, neck-and-neck for best stadium. And then Mercedes in Hot Town. Jerry's World's been around for a while now. And you got people topping Jerry. They've outdone him. Certainly in Lipstick City, they've outdone him. Early in this game, here we go. 2.5 left before halftime. They're not even at the half yet. Two touchdowns. The first one, Donald Parham, a pass from Herbert, 4 yards. 7-0, and then they just scored again. Jared Cook from Herbert for 10 yards to make it 14-0. The bottom line is the Raiders haven't really been able to do anything. Carr, 7 of 12 for 52 yards. He's been sacked twice. Waller's got one catch. Renfro, Ruggs, and Jacobs, 2 apiece. Carr's fumbled the ball. Renfro fumbled the ball. They didn't lose them, but they've had their problems offensively in this game. And the Chargers have the lead. They were laying 3. I think when it opened up, it was 3.5. It went down to 3, I think. For the most part, you could have gotten the Chargers at 3. But there's still a ton of football left in this game, an entire half, and they're not even at the half, like I said. Now, 4th-and-1, and the Raiders will have to punt deep from their own end. The kicker will punt it from the two, and the Chargers might be in business again right before the half with plenty of time to move down the field. They'll get it at their own 31 and see if they can put something together here. They've done everything else they wanted. And anyway, they started the game at around 8:45 Eastern, so it's going to go the length of this puppy. I think we're going to be on for most of the game here on the bench. We welcome our radio affiliates. All of them, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces, hoorah. It's Pharrell on the bench on a misery Monday. So I think Herbert's one tough customer. You know, I heard before the game, all I heard about was the Raiders fans take over everywhere they go. They take over L.A. certainly when they go to California. Obviously, they played in L.A., played in Oakland forever. So they do have throngs of fans. In Lipstick City, there's no doubt about it. They have always had a huge following out there. And there's nothing you can do about it except when they're sitting on their hands the whole game. I mean, they got nothing to cheer for at this point. You give up another one and you're done. I mean, honestly, if they go down 21 in this game, I would think they're toast, Mafia, don't you? If they give up another one and you go down three touchdowns, I mean, the way their offense has looked, I mean, what are they going to find some magic key at halftime to unlock their offense in the second half, and they're going to come back and score three touchdowns as if the Chargers aren't going to score ever again in this game? I mean, they're only up two scores right now. It's not the end of the world, but three, I think you got problems.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. They have to shut things down. They can't give up more another touchdown here. I mean, they only have one first down and like less than 50 yards offense in this half. So the defense has completely shut them down. They're going to make some adjustments. They're going to find some little openings here or there. But if you're down 21 points, you're not coming back against that team. They're going to keep putting it up.
So it's my daughter's birthday today. Chop. I mean, she just raked the clothing gifts. I mean, the pile of clothes I saw that chick get, I was jealous.
It's a jungle out there.
So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed.
That's where we come in.
Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, we're on the bench. I mean, honestly. Oh, God. Anyway, so I went to Philly and to Atlantic City, and I saw the Eagles and Chiefs play, and it was quite the experience. I sat on the 50-yard line, 18 rows from the field, and that was pretty cool. And the other thing that was cool was watching Patrick Mahomes carve up the Eagles like it was Thanksgiving. I mean, this guy, five touchdown passes in that game. He was just absolutely doing them. He did whatever he wanted. When he wasn't throwing touchdowns, he was running for first downs. I mean, the guy did whatever he wanted. There's the touchdown to Eckler. They're going to go up 21 at the half. Oh, my God. They're starting to smoke the Raiders at SoFi. They show Derek Carr on the bench. What has he got to do with it? What are you going to show us Derek Carr like he's going to have some huge impact and come back on him now all of a sudden? I mean, they look like crap tonight, right? Meanwhile, everybody and their brother, I'm just saying right now at this point, obviously there's still a lot of football left. Everybody and their brother bet on the Raiders. Everybody. Like, you know, I heard all these people. And then I was on, you know, with this sharp in Vegas, in Atlantic City with a guy that's a sharp. And he was on them. He was on the Raiders. And everyone that I talked to there was on the Raiders. I was talking to his other juice, like these dudes that are big heavies, and they were on the Raiders. And I was on the Chargers, minus three. So sometimes best laid plans are laid to waste. I just don't see how. Honestly, what are they going to just all of a sudden come alive? I mean, my problem is, how do you stop the Chargers at this point from scoring again? I mean, what are they going to get shut out in the second half? If you put up 21 in the first half, in my view, you're not getting shut out in the second half. You're going to score again. The guy's 20 of 25 for 175 yards and three touchdowns. Justin Herbert, do you think he's slowing down at this point? I mean, he's doing whatever he wants. Just like Mahomes yesterday. And you know what? I actually thought that Hurts played pretty well. I didn't think that he played bad at all. I just thought that the Eagles' defense sucks. And while I'm at it, I might as well just say that I thought that the Chiefs' defense was just as bad, if not worse. I mean, seriously, they couldn't stop anything. I mean, both teams moved up and down the field like nobody's business. And I got to tell you, Mahomes was 278 with five touchdowns, sacked once. Hurts was 387, 8 yard average, two TDs, sacked three times. He had 105 rating. He definitely wasn't a problem. By the way, Carr almost just threw a pick. A lineman knocked the ball up in the air and almost caught it and went in for a touchdown. So nothing's going right for them at all. I just want to look at this. In terms of yards, the Chiefs have 471, the Eagles 461. I told you, 271 passing for the Chiefs, 358 for the Eagles. The Eagles didn't play bad at all. The Chiefs rushed for 200. The Eagles rushed for .103. I mean, you know, those numbers are staggering when you think about it in terms of the productivity, because I thought, you know, both defenses were terrible. You know, I mean, it was like they were running through butter. It was just so soft, both defenses. Like, I mean, they just moved up and down the field. And I was just sitting there going, man, they are going to be in the high 60s in this game. Sure enough, it went into the 60s. I got to tell you, I thought that the Eagles fans were great in terms of, like, the atmosphere. It was an incredible day. It was 80 degrees. It was sunny. It was baking outside. There was no clouds in the sky at all. And it was just a perfect day. It was hot. There was literally no breeze, nothing. It was just stiff. And I was there, and it was just fry an egg in that stadium. You could just sit there and just bake. But, you know, going into the stadium was quite the scene. You know, I parked like, I'd say like maybe a half mile from the link, you know? Like I was on a, down by some warehouses out in the middle of nowhere, but a lot of people parked there, right? And they set up their tailgates there. And then as you walk in and walk toward the link, you get to the outside of the parking lots at the very end where they begin out in the, you know, at the back end of the parking lot where you could like walk in and go, oh, look, I'm in the parking lot. All of a sudden, it is just a different world, man. You talk about the Wizard of Oz, that place. What a scene that is. I mean, I know it's that way at every NFL stadium every Sunday that there's a game. There's big crowds and big parties and big tailgates and big food and big booze and everything. But, I mean, this thing was just rock and roll. It was a clash between rock and roll and hip-hop. There was just music blasting everywhere. Every other party had like a sound system. There were DJs there were literally parties with DJs that, like, there was a guy standing there DJing the tailgate party. And he had, I mean, just amps going hard. And it was loud as all hell. I mean, it was just a bash. And I mean, I saw everything. I saw everything. Cooking, drinking, shots, smoking, drugs, strippers. I mean, it was all happening there. No joke. Absolutely no joke. I took pictures. I was like, this is a scene. Now, back in the day, I used to do like Eagles pregame. I did on like YSP back in the day. They had the Eagles. And I used to do shows right from that stadium. And it was like when it first opened, right? And I never, like, I was at the, right at the front door of the stadium. That's where we did it, right? So I wasn't in the back of that parking lot. I wasn't out there in the outskirts all the way out at the end. But from the end of that parking lot into that stadium, it was a scene to behold, man. You talk about a party. I was like sitting there going, this is wild at this place. And the fans are just lit and they're loyal. They're crazy. They're loud. They're drunk. They're abusive. The language is deplorable, but everybody's having a great time. I didn't see any violence, which is good. You know, you hear all the time every week. Now you hear about fights in stadiums. It's like every week on Monday, you hear about fights breaking out. I didn't see any of that. I just saw people having a good time, chilling the most. I didn't see anyone so bad, so inebriated, so gassed that they couldn't function. I didn't see that. I saw people in control just throwing down, and it was pretty cool. I gave them high grades. I had a really good time in Philadelphia at the Link and in Atlantic City at the Borgata Shakeout. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, Mavi is directing me to John in Buffalo now. Let's try this one.
Hey, Ice Guy. How you doing, man?
What's up, dude?
Hey, just wanted to chat you up about a ranked college team who I think are pretty meh for 5-0, and that's BYU. They beat two ranked teams at the time of play, ASU and Utah, but those two teams have shown their true colors these past few weeks and kind of fallen off that ranking. I think if the ball stays in the air on both sides on Saturday, then I think Boise's QB can carry them over BYU. I just wish the line was a bit better for the dog here at +180, but otherwise I'd hop on Boise State, maybe looking at 250 more.
Yeah, I mean, I think Boise State's looked awful. You might be right, but they're playing at Edwards in Provo, and they're 5-0. And I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, you know, Nevada beat Boise's ass Saturday by 10. You know, I know they're, you know, tougher, you know, the teams they've played, like Oklahoma State beat them by 1. They beat up Utah State, fair enough, you know, two Saturdays ago. I'll give you that. But this is a different beast altogether that they're playing, right? I mean, You don't think BYU's legit? I mean, fair enough. They beat Arizona, no big deal. I think they suck. I'd agree with you. I don't think Utah's anything. They were rated at the time, which was a fake ranking. You know, like, you know, when they got the they were ranked 21st or something after the first week, and no, you don't know whether you're coming or going with these teams. Arizona State, I think, is decent. You saw what they did to UCLA over the weekend. They kicked their ass. They beat South Florida. They beat up Utah State Friday night. I hit that bet laying 8. I don't know. If this game were at Boise on the blue carpet, I might probably lean toward your bet. Like that might be a good bet, but you know, I don't know. I got burned on Boise before against Nevada, and now you want me to take them with 5 in at BYU and Edwards. I'm not feeling that. I'm really not. But I'm not jumping up and down about, you know, BYU. Look, I said today on Coast to Coast on the TV show that I think, you know, there was some talk about Cincinnati's not legit. And I said that, you know, or that they won't get to the playoff. There's too many other teams that matter. And one of the teams that was mentioned was BYU. And I said at the time that Cincinnati's got more juice than BYU. And that's just all there is to it. I think, you know, you look at the rankings as they are now, Cincinnati's ranked a lot higher. And they beat Notre Dame in South Bend at Notre Dame Stadium, and they were unbeaten. BYU doesn't have any of that on their resume. So, and you're talking about a Cincinnati team that in 2 years now has been heavy in college football, and they've been overlooked and given no respect already last year. I mean, and now they have a potential situation here where they could actually run the tables. If they got down to business, they could run the tables after the Notre Dame game. The rest of their games are conference only, and there's only 2 teams that have a shot at them at all, if that. And if they beat everybody on their board, I think they have a legitimate shot at the playoff. I'll give you that, you know, Oklahoma and a Big Ten team would get in before them because the committee wants a Big Ten team, a Big 12 team, and, you know, they'll take 2 SEC teams, Georgia and Alabama, automatic, even if they play in the SEC title game. But I think, you know, for me, Cincinnati now is that other team. A&M's out of it. They've lost 2 in a row. They're done. Clemson's done. Whoever wins the Big Ten is going to have one of those spots. And I'm not going to be surprised at all if whoever wins the Big 12 gets the other one. And then Cincinnati would get screwed either way. But I heard people say today, oh, BYU would be one of the teams. They got more juice than Cincinnati. And I said, no, they don't. And that's that. So I'm telling you, they don't have more juice. And even with the teams that they beat, it doesn't equate to what Cincinnati did to beat you know, frankly, Notre Dame and prior to that, and I'll give you this, it's nothing major, but when they went to Bloomington and beat Indiana, Indiana still had some level of juice left. Not much, because they've squeezed out the grapefruit. I mean, they've squeezed it out. All the juice is gone. Their season's over. And they last year had a good year. This year, their season's over. All they do is lose. But going to Bloomington and winning that game against Pennix and Indiana was impressive, and they beat their ass like 38-24, something like that. And then now they back it up by going to South Bend and beating Notre Dame. That's all you need to know. That, as far as I'm concerned, that committee will be all over them. Good hearing from you, though, Johnny. And I'm on, I still got to tell you, I'm pretty sure. I'm on BYU. And actually, when it opened up, it was 3.5, and it moved to 5.5 because everybody pounced on them at 3.5, including me. So we'll see what happens. I hope you're right for your sake, though. I really do. Anyway, I was at Atlantic City, and I mean, I hit that hard, too. The gambling was excessive. I told this story today. at least I think I did on Coast to Coast, but I was in this fancy restaurant and, I mean, just 5-star fancy restaurant reservation. I could barely get in. I got in and we got a table late 9:30, and at 9:30, you know what we were doing? We were watching the Dodgers and Brewers They were facing Burns on Saturday at Chavez Ravine, and they had to win. They absolutely had to win. And my buddy bet them to win and won 25 grand. And we were sitting there at the table, and I mean, he was just getting lit, and he was so fired up. Every time they scored a run, I mean, it was 7-1. They built a 7-1 lead, and then they finished him off and won the game, and he won the money. It was really cool because all these rich people were in their suits and dresses and diamonds and everything. Everybody's, you know, living large, eating, having these wonderful, you know, conversations, toasting, champagne, wine, everything, cocktails, martinis. And here we are sitting in the middle of the restaurant watching the Dodger game on a phone in the middle of the table, leaning against the candle. And I mean, we had it all going too. I had everything going at this table. Like the guy, you know, because I don't drink, whatever. But believe me, if I did, I'd be King Tutankhamun. But I don't drink. So I'm like, give me a bottle of Pellegrino. And the guy looked at me like, oh my God, I'm not going to make any money off of this guy. And I was like, don't worry, dude. You're going to make all kinds of money here tonight because you have no idea who you're dealing with when it comes to eating. And then this dude I was with, he didn't know what hit him when he saw me start eating. Mafia knows what happens. He knows. Just tell him the truth. When you and I go to nice restaurants, which has been like 5 million times, what happens when it comes to my eating, my appetite, my ability to consume large quantities of food at fancy restaurants when I want to try a little bit of everything? What happens when we go to a restaurant, big time, 5-star in Vegas? What happens?
You put it away. I mean, and you order for five. There's two of us, and you order for five. And you get like, you know, three appetizers, an entree, dessert, three espressos, and they just don't know what to do with it. They start looking around for more people coming, you know, asking us if we have a bigger group coming than we have sitting at the table. And we said, no, he's going to eat that.
I eat it all. So this guy looked at me like I ordered a bottle of water. I said, hey, keep them coming. When I'm done with that bottle, I'm going to order another one. And then I'm going to order so much effing food, you're not going to know what hit you. And the guy's like, looking at me, and I said, listen, bro, do I look like I'm kidding? I ordered like five appetizers. I ordered a wedge salad. I ordered literally a 40-ounce steak, 40 ounces. And then I ordered, when I was done with that, I ordered a bowl of three gigantic scoops of sorbet and a cappuccino. And that was after I had four double espressos. I mean, the bill was like a dime and a half. And I was looking at this dude. I go, I told you, booze ain't a factor here, bro. You're still going to get a huge tip because we're rolling in here. I didn't come here to not eat. I didn't come here to, like, you know, have a, you know, an entree and, you know, one drink. Like, is there anything worse? I eat everything I see. If I see something someone else is eating, I eat that too. I'm like, what is that lady having? And they're like, hey, tell me. And I said, give me one of those. And then I just keep trying things. I had like five hors d'oeuvres, you know, whatever. I had five appetizers. I had them all going. Clams, shrimp cocktail. You know, we had it all going. Caprese salads. I had it all going. And that was before we went to the tables. And I mean, after I ate that food, we went out and gambled hard. Like nobody's business. We're into the second half at SoFi in Lipstick City on a bench.
You're living through a revolution. Sports gaming is sweeping the country.
You can feel it.
Soon you'll be drowning in noise from posers and wannabes.
They have noise.
We have analysis and expert information.
Stick with who you know.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, for all on the bench, I actually liked Atlantic City and where we stayed and how we rolled and what we did and, you know, everything about it. I mean, I got up early on Sunday and worked out and then ate and then went to the Eagles game from AC. It's like 40 minutes to Atlantic City. By the way, the Raiders are about to score if they can get in. But your boy Carr was sacked at the 14. Anyway, they're close. They're right there on the doorstep in the red zone. Down 21-0 early in the third. So they score here and they're back in it. Anyway, yeah, I had a good time. I liked it. I stayed in a really cool spot. And the whole deal, suites, the whole deal, we had it all going. Ate at a killer five-star restaurant, no joke. And then partied, won all kinds of money on, you know, football. I just had so much action going. I had 13 prop bets going. I hit 12-1 in NFL prop bets yesterday. Automatic, documented, no joke. Straight up, no games. I hit 12 out of 13. I was pasting them all day, too, on Twitter for everybody else. Everyone that follows me on Twitter at Pharrell on Grid, you saw them all. So go look at them. They're all there. I hit 12 of 13. And the big bets that I made on Saturday that I hit were the ones that I talked about the most all week on Coast to Coast and on the bench, which was, you know, Cincinnati and Penn State. Penn State was my number one play. I had all kinds of good bets going on. I hit that Louisiana Tech touchdown Renfro, by the way. Raiders are on the board. I hit Louisiana Tech getting 19.5 against North Carolina State. And then, you know, just some of the big games that I bet on Saturday that hit. Kansas State getting a 10.5 from Oklahoma hit. I hit that Hawaii spread. I hit the BC spread. So Alabama, I was on some good games on Saturday in terms of my betting. USC was one of them that I played. And I had UNLV going again against Texas San Antonio. They covered the 21, and that was a nice one. Nebraska laying 10.5. So there were a lot of games that I liked that I played when I was down there in Atlantic City. And I hit, and then you know the story, at least if you haven't heard it, I hit the Giants getting the points. I got it at 8 when the week opened up, and then it moved to whatever, 7.5, 7, whatever it was at kickoff. So I bet it with my buddy, Large. We both did, right? I bet like... I didn't do as big as he did. He did massive amounts, and I just did a nickel, and I made like 14 on it, and it was cool that they won that game in overtime against the Saints on Bourbon Street because they were down 21-10, and then I thought I was dead in the water, and he had faith. He's like, they're still in it. There's plenty of time left. They just need to score. Sure enough, they got back in it, eventually tied them, and then beat them in overtime. And they never touched the ball in overtime, the Saints. The Giants got the ball, and they marched down the field, and they scored. And we went crazy in his car because we, you know, we left the Eagles game with like 6 minutes left. They were winning by two touchdowns or more. We're like, let's go listen to the Giants game. It was so close. They were down 3. So when I was walking back to the car, they were down 3. And then they got the field goal. I think they got down to like the 20-yard line, kicked the field goal, tied it, and then won the toss and then got the ball and marched down the field and won that game. And I was just lit in this dude's car. And he's driving this smoking hot sports car doing a buck 5, doing a buck 5 on the highway. We were going crazy when he scored the touchdown to win it. Mavi, you haven't told me yet what you thought of your Jets winning against the Titans in overtime.
I was amazed by it. I thought there was no chance they were staying in that game, even with you know, the top two receivers out for Tennessee. I thought they were simply just going to run all over them all game. And they did have a great game running the ball with Henry. But the Jets did a great job, you know, getting into the pass, which they haven't done all season. Zach Wilson was awesome. That's another thing, another point in that game. I mean, he had the one pick, but the defense is what really got them in there because they were struggling in the first quarter, first half, not doing anything. They're forcing field goals, bending, not breaking, getting, you know, all those sacks. And then in the second half, the kid opened it up and made some incredible plays. I mean, the one play to Corey Davis where, you know, he rolls great. Out and then points down the field and just bombs it over top. That's, you know, the kind of play they got him for. That's what they saw in college, him do at BYU, that, you know, things are breaking. He's roaming around. He can make something happen. So let's hope we can see a little more of that. Stop with this. He's got to play it safe. You want him to make smart throws, but you don't want to take it, you know, you don't handcuff him too much and take him out of the game that you drafted him for. So I thought they played great. Of course, there were things they could have fixed. They could have won the game earlier. They could have gotten a touchdown in overtime, you know, just a couple of passes that he missed there, but they still get the win, and that's what's important against a team that's a lot better than them.
So do you think they'll win in London?
That one's a tougher one. I mean, now you're going against the Falcons, who seem to love to blow games late. We saw again against Washington, but they're also a team that can throw the ball all over the field. And I don't think Jets secondary is up to snuff. You know, they get some pressure on Matt Ryan, flush him out of the pocket, then they can try to keep him in it just like they did with Tannehill yesterday. They're going to be in the game, I think, because I just don't think the Falcons are good. But it's one that's very sketchy. And especially when you go over to London, it's anybody's, you know, guess what's going to happen when both these teams go over the pond.
So I went when I was at the Eagles game. I didn't tell you what happened. I was there on the 50-yard line, and it was sold out. I mean, you couldn't even move. And I bought the bottomless popcorn offering. So they give you this giant bag of popcorn and a bowl, this giant bowl. As you know, I like to order the bottomless popcorn mafia. And I so it said on the when I was at the restaurant or whatever, the concession, it said sodium warning. It said it right on the thing, sodium warning. Like, it had a picture of a heart and it said sodium warning. And I said, give me that. Give me the bottomless popcorn bowl. Free refills all day. And the over was 2. And the bowl was, you know, it was big. It was deep. It was, you know, movie theater deep. And I went way over. I mean, I had 4 bowls. 4 bowls. The guy next to me, as I was working the third bowl, he's like, Jesus, dude. And I was like, you want some, bro? And he was like, are you Pharrell? I go, yeah, man. He goes, I've never seen anyone eat that much popcorn in my life. I said, if I could only tell you how thirsty I am right now, because I had a water, but it was 80 degrees, so the water was warm, and I couldn't get up to go get a drink because I was in the middle of the row on the 50-yard line, dead in the middle with like 30 people on my left, 30 people on my right. And here I am like, I'm not going to get up and start having people move around so I can go get a drink. And I had a warm water, so I was like drinking warm water. But I busted off 4 bowls of popcorn. I mean, the saltiest popcorn you ever had in your life. But it was good. I mean, it was ridiculous. I ate 4 of them. I was just cranking popcorn. I had gigantic, enormous, like, popcorn kernels just stuck in my gums and between my teeth. And there was nothing I could do about it. I didn't have dental floss. I didn't have anything. I was just like, it was just everywhere. And it was just caught in my teeth. And I was like trying to jimmy it with my tongue. The whole deal. The whole day I was like, ow, 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 ow. But I was able to go over to 2. So I hit the over on the popcorn, bottomless popcorn. The over 2 prop boat bet went way over. I doubled it. 12-1 in NFL props. To what?
I'm not surprised by that at all. I've been with you to fights, to games, all sorts of events. I've seen you eat popcorn even just in your house. I mean, you can go through like half a box of Orville. Like, and I'm not talking half a box, just like a bag or box. Like the bags that you have to make. You'll go and make 3 different bags in the microwave over the course of, you know, an NFL game. So I'm not surprised by it at all. You know, I wish I would have been known about that prop bet. Between you guys, I would have thrown some big bucks on that. I would throw more money on that than I did any of those games yesterday.
The guy had about, I'll give him a half bowl that I was with. He had a half bowl of my 4. So I ate 3.5. And I didn't really even want to share with him. Because it's just like, if you're not man enough to go, you know, 3-4 bowls deep with me on popcorn, then don't really just stick your hand in my popcorn. Because you're just in the way. I need
a real man.
Now,
was the bowl as nice as the Jerry's World replica that you have?
No, it was just a pop, like movie theater popcorn bowl, big old bowl. And then they stick this giant bag of popcorn in it. and then you take it to your seats and you pour out this giant bottomless. They're this big. And I mean, big, like literally, I mean, literally 16 feet, you know, I'm talking about 16 inches, like a bigger than a size 12 shoe by 4 inches. So I poured a half of it in and then I ate it, ate the other half. That's one bowl. I ate 4 bowls. So the big bowl is like, it's like carnival size, the bag. It's like a long bag and you have to pour it into the bowl and you put it on the ground, eat the bowl and then pour the rest in the bowl and then eat that. So I had 4 of them going and it was everywhere. Like, you know, cause I miss when I'm watching the game, I'm missing, you know, I'm hitting like 90% of it and I'm missing 10 and it was everywhere, all over my shorts, all over the floor. It was all over my face and I was 80 degrees outside and I had butter all over me. I was just covered in salt and butter. It was all over my fingers. I was just covered in it. And the guy next to me, I had no napkins. I was licking my fingers. I had stuff stuck in my teeth. And the guy next to me was like, Pharrell, you're a rock star on that popcorn. And I was like, yes, sir.
Yeah, I do not envy your bowels the next 24 hours.
Yeah, I already dealt with that. It's already been cleaned out by the bidet. No problem. If I didn't have the bidet, I'd probably have Krusty Louie's, but I was able to, you know, spray all that out of there. No problem. I did about 2 or 3 today sessions, cleaned that out, cleaned the house. Everybody's done. Everybody's happy. So I don't have any residuals, although it was Chop's birthday and I did eat fried chicken for dinner, like, you know, like I was in Georgia. I ate fried chicken, like deep South fried chicken. And then I ate a gigantic piece of birthday cake, the size of a computer laptop. I mean, the thing was like 12 pounds, this piece of ice cream cake, 12 pounds. And I finished it off in like 9 bites. So I do have a rather hanging gut right now, a little bit of a hanger, but I am, as you know, I work out hard. So every day when I go to the gym and I get on the bike or on the treadmill and I put a picture of my fat friends up on the thing, I just keep grinding and sweating and working it and grinding and sweating and working it. And then I hit the jump ropes and then I do the weights and then I swim. And I don't feel guilty about how much food I eat. I really don't. I'm on a seafood diet. I see food, I eat it. That's it. If I want food, I eat it. If I want a munchies, I eat it. If I want anything, I just eat it. I don't mess around with like, I'm on an Atkins diet and I'm gonna have one cookie and a salad. I go all in when I'm eating. I'm like, let's see, what can I eat today? How about the whole fridge? Let's go. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
Sure enough, the Raiders are doing everything I said that they couldn't do. They're going to score again and be down 7. They were down 21-0 at the half, and they are moving in again. Waller with a huge catch down to the 9. They are going in on the Chargers again here, and LA's in big trouble. How do you blow a 21-0 lead? And like, they've done it in, you know, whatever, 12, 13 minutes here of the third. They've done it all in the third. They've dominated the third, and they're dominating this game right now. And they're down to the 3-yard line, getting ready to make it a 21-14 game. I can't even believe it. Like, the LA just went to the half, and I guess they drank shots of tequila because they look terrible. I cannot believe the tale of two halves. 21-0, and now it'll be 14-0 Raiders in the second half. And now that they're going to go in and score, if they score here, which I think they will, they are so in the Chargers' heads. I mean, they are living rent-free at this point, the way they are schooling them. Your boy Carr throws it away. They're coming down into LA's end deep, about to score and make it a seven-point game. We'll keep our eyes on it. It'll be third and goal here. This is a huge third and goal. I don't know if they go for it on fourth, if they don't get it, or if they take the points. But they're down 21-7 now, trying to make it 21-14 on a bench.